Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're looking ahead to the action on Tuesday. We've got a 7-race card from Fairy House that kicks off at 3:25 to look forward to. Sam Norris here on the podcast, and joining me as ever on the line to take a look at the action is Andy Holding. Morning, Andy. How are you?
Morning, bud. Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm in good form.
Good stuff. Another good card for us today at Fairy House, Andy, but it was an even better card yesterday on Irish Grand National Day. We'll start with that. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it was if you backed any of the winners.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's always better that way.
I didn't have that many bets, but the ones I did back didn't win. My door was my nearest. It ran another solid race, but yeah, the big race itself, I wouldn't say it was impossible, but you needed a little bit of imagination to find Thunder and Roses.
Yeah.
And one or two of the other results were a little bit iffy. But yeah, it was a good card. The Digout won the big Grade 2 hurdle. He's obviously a very good horse when the ground's soft in Ireland. And Simple Medici was a good choice from Ruby Walsh, who had three or four to pick from in that race, but he got it right.
Yeah, absolutely. And not quite the same quality on show today at Fairy House, but a decent card nonetheless, Andy.
Yeah, I'd say because of its nature, it's not quite as competitive. Hopefully, winner finding will be a little bit more straightforward than it was yesterday and the day before. Certainly, that's the theory anyway. So, yeah. No excuses this time, Sam.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'll dive into the action then. As mentioned, the first race today comes up at 3:25. We have a 2-mile, 1-furlong beginner's chase to kick things off at Fairy House. And Idami is the 7-4 market leader at the time of recording. 2-1 for Apazo. Clonman and Lad is 11-4. 8-1 for Jarab. 33s bar those. Looking like it's between the front three in the market here, Andy.
Yeah, it makes me feel a little bit uneasy, this race, weighing it up this morning. All three in the market have got negatives. They've got a few positives, but it is the negatives I'm going to kind of centre around and then obviously put up the case for the one I'm going to go for in the end. Adimi would be the best of these. He's got a rating of 135 over hurdles, and he was a big anti-post tip for the Pertemps final, which he was trained for following an eye-catching run at Musselburgh the time before. Unfortunately, for those that supported him down to 8-1, second favourite, he never really looked as though he was going to justify the gamble. He got beat 30-odd lengths in the end, albeit the Pertemps final was a very good race on the figures, and he's the first horse to come out of it. So we know that he's a 3-miler ostensibly over hurdles now, and he's making his chasing debut over 2 miles here today, and that's the negative with him. Obviously, he lacks chasing experience. He's only had the one run over fences up to now, whereas his main two market rivals have got more runs under their belt over the larger obstacles. Upazo's negative would be a really poor run at Gowan last time out, after a fall the first time. So, you know, he's building up a little bit of a dodgy profile so far of offensive, and he really did weaken badly from three out the other day at Gowan. So he's hard to really, you know, like it at a very shortest price. And the other one is Clonban and Ladd, who's had 9 attempts over offensive and yet to win. That's a negative of him. The positives are a little bit more persuasive, and that's the reason why I'm going to go with Clonban and Ladd. He has got plenty of backlash over the larger obstacles. He's run against some very, very good horses in his time. He ran quite well over hurdles last time out to indicate he was maybe coming back to his best. But he's only got to run up to the kind of standard that saw him chase home Ted Veal, Benny Mead, Morning Assembly a couple of times, and follow me up to Carlo as well. You know, these are proper sort of grade two, grade three horses. So I'm just hoping that he can rekindle the flame of those former years. The last run suggested he was definitely coming back to something like his best, so I'm going to go with Clonban and Ladd on this occasion.
Okay, Clonban and Ladd then getting the pick for Andy, an 11-4 shot at the time of recording in the opening race of the day, the beginner's chase. We'll move on then to the 3:55, the big race of the day from Fairy House on this Tuesday. This one is a grade two chase, ran over 2 mile and 1 furlong. It's Maloney who leads affairs at 1-2. 5-2 is Twin Light, and Cervelo is a 7-1 shot. Just the three of them line up for this one, Andy, but we've got Twin Light, who was second in the race last year, and of course at the head of affairs, Maloney, who chases a hat-trick here. Is he the one to beat?
Oh, Maloney is very much the one to beat. He's been one of the superstars of the two-mile chasing category over in Ireland so far this season. His last two victories at Fairy House and at Naas, respectively, have been pretty much awesome. And I expect him to probably take this again, despite his shortish odds. The one slight niggle I have got is nothing to do with the horse. If Davy Russell doesn't ride him, Davy gets on particularly well with Maloney. I think he's been the reason why this horse has got so many good numbers next to his name in recent times. Paul Cobbery's ridden him a couple of times, and although he hasn't won on him, the horse has run quite well for him on those occasions. He's actually have won on him, but I'd much prefer Davy on because I do think he does gel well with the horse. It's going to be a bit of a tactical battle. I presume that Ruby Walsh will bowl along with Twin Light in front, and Maloney will just sit in behind and hopefully pounce in the home straight. He's got a good turn of foot when required, Maloney, and hopefully that change of pace, as we saw last time at Naas in that Grade 2, where Twin Light was floundering in his wake to the tune of 20 lengths back in third. That will be the telltale reason why Maloney upholds the form. So Maloney to pounce and stalk on his old adversary, Twin Light, and hopefully sign off yet another season with a win under his belt.
OK, Maloney then getting a pick in that 3.55. Next up at 4.25, we have a novice handicap hurdle here. 3 miles at the trip for this one, and it's Pleasant Company who leads the market at 7-4. 8-1 for Fine Article. Rathpatrick is 9-1. It's 11-1 bar those. No surprise, I suppose, Andy, to a William Williams newcomer here, Pleasant Company, at the top of the market, who's made the switch from David Pipe's yard. Would he have a good chance here today?
Yeah, I mean, this was a difficult one for many bookmakers to evaluate this morning. He was put in a fairly tentative-looking shortish price, but that hasn't stopped punters absolutely smashing him off the boards. So he's obviously been acclimatising well to the William Mullins regime. I mean, he could be spectacularly well handicapped here for a mark of 120. His form in the UK was OK, if not spectacular. But like I say, William Mullins in the past has resurrected horses' careers probably a lot worse than this to such cataclysmic heights. So you do have to wonder what he was doing in the previous days with other trainers. He had a horse the other week at Cork, which landed a gamble off a mark of 86. His previous two runs, he'd failed to beat a single horse home, and yet first run for William Mullins, he ended up landing a gamble in from 2-1 into 11-08. So very much the money is speaking in the favour here of Pleasant Company. He's probably the most likely winner here, and it would be maybe foolish to go against him. But at time of recording at 7-4, you know, I'm not really in the business to be putting him up at a very short price. So I'm going to perhaps give punters a little bit of respite and solace in a few who I think will run well at a fair odds. I certainly think the form of Fine Article and Vegetariat stands up to the closest inspection. That race that they were involved with last time at Navan on the 15th of March, where Vegetariat came out on top of Fine Article, it was certainly a good race of its kind. And both of them have got previously really good form, which is beginning to work out well. Vegetariat's win at Clonmel has been working out exceptionally well. And also Fine Article, his form as well behind Roy de France at Clonmel at the same track, has also began to shape up quite nicely. So I do think these two are the classiest horses in the race. Whether they're well handicapped enough to withstand the onslaught, which is Pleasant Company, remains to be seen. But I'm going to probably play those two against the field. You can get 11-1 Vegetariat and Fine Article at 8-1, the two classy horses, and let's hope they can run well enough anyway to justify their selections.
Fair enough then, a couple of shouts in that one, big prices for Andy. We'll move ahead to the 4.55 race now. This one's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and 6-1 favourites Clondor Warrior. Draco is 7-1. It's also 7-1 about Pink Coat. Pair of Brown Eyes is an 8-1 shot. It's 9s about Thomas Edison, 9s about Lucky Bridle, and 10s bar those. A competitive enough looking heater, Andy.
Very much so, yeah. This is the hardest race of the day. They should bet 7-1 the field close to the off, and you could fancy a whole host of horses. Let's just hope that most of the runners stay in and we can get 4 places on offer, because I think you're going to need them here. Again, I'm going to probably offer up a couple of horses against the field and mention maybe one or two others. There's been a bit of money for Pink Coat this morning from the informed Sandra Hughes stable, but I do think that horse has been after better ground than he's been running on in recent times. Soft ground and yielding to softer in his last two runs would have done him any favours. I do think he's going to win a big pot sooner rather than later. I've certainly got this horse on my mind for the Galway Hurdle later on in the year. So he's one to watch for the future. I think we need to have a close look at Draco here as well from the Aidan O'Brien stable. He ran really well the other day, eye-catchingly so, in that race at Leopardstown, which was won by KTT, the Big Ball Sports Handicap. And he came from well, well off the pace to finish a never near and knocked about seventh. Again, better ground would suit him, but he's certainly not one to discount with Joseph O'Brien on board. We also need to have a look at Pivot Bridge. He goes really well at the track. He comes here off the win of the other day over the informed Moonmeister at Dundalk, so we know he's in good form and he'll love the ground. So he's a consideration. But my number one choice out of all those three that I mentioned, I want to throw another one into the mix, is Sizing Cadalco from the Henry de Bromhead stable. Lovely big chasing type by Flemings Firth. And indeed, he has been running over the larger obstacles of late. I think that's where Henry does see him, his future lying in future. He chased down Zabana last time out when they switched him home over hurdles. He was gambled on to do so that day, but unfortunately bumped into a horse who only just found a very good horse in his wake in the Coral Cup. It looked as though he was going to wind jump in the last, but the thing of Paul Nichols is owned by John Hales, come and nutted him in the dying stages. So I thought that was a decent effort by Sizing Cadalco. He comes here with a fresh horse. He's got a course win under his belt on heavy ground here at this at this track last year. So I don't think he's going to run well at a big price. I think you can get him around about 12, 14 to 1 this morning, Sizing Cadalco. And he would be my idea of the best sort of value bet in the race.
Okay, Sizing Cadalco then in that 4.55 for Andy. Next up on the card then is the 5.25 handicap chase. This one over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Miss Zion is your 3-1 favourite. 7-2 about Are You Right Chief. 7-2 about the Lobster Catcher also. 7-1 for Down Under. 8-1 More Madness. 10s bar those. And this is another one that looks pretty tight at the head of affairs, Andy.
Yeah, it does, although I'm quite keen on this race, actually, because there's a couple of horses who've got some fantastic form at this track, in particular one who stands out for me here. Obviously, we've got to consider Miss Zian as a danger to all. She's managed to win her last two races. She's got a good record going round at Fairy House as well. But the handicapper hasn't missed her. She's gone up from a rating of 99 to now a top ceiling of 118. So there's every chance that a winning run might come to a close, particularly she only won by a short head the last day. And going back to Fairy House here in early January, I think the best form coming into this race is the race that was won by Swordfish. Now, in second that day was the Lobster Catcher. Back in fourth was Miss Zion. And the Lobster Catcher, despite beating Miss Zion, is incredibly well off in the revised weights here this afternoon, plus the fact that Peter Fahey's 11-year-old has got a fantastic record round here at Fairy House. He's three runs over fences, he yielded 2 seconds and a win. We know he goes well on the ground. He chased down Miss Zion last time out at Nace as well, so he's maintaining his form. So I've got a real good feeling about the Lobster Catcher here today. He's probably one of my best bets on the card. You can back him at round about 7-2, 4-1 this morning, obviously with Archimede as non-runner. And I do make it between Miss Zion and the Lobster Catcher, but with these under these revised weights, back to the Fairy House, which is the scene of his best efforts, the Lobster Catcher is very much the confident vote in that 5.25.
Fair enough, the Lobster Catcher then in that 5.25, getting the nod for Andy. The penultimate race of the day then comes up at 5.55. This one is a 3 mile, 1 furlong Hunter's Chase. And Carsonstown Boy is the 4-5 market leader for this one. Court Frontier is 15-8, 8-1 for Dawn and Drank. Court Citizen is 16-1, it's 33-1 bar those. Carsonstown Boy, only the favourite. We've seen him in the last two Fox Hunters at Cheltenham. Is that form good enough to land this?
I think so, yeah. I backed him at the Fox Hunters and I thought he ran a Herculean race. He was on the speed all the way through that. He was pestered by two or three horses in that race early on that softened him up. And yeah, he still had the quality to come back and rally to the cause and still look a threat going down to 2 out, only then to weaken when the horses that were in a bit more conservatively came through, the likes of On the Fringe and Paint in the Clouds. I mean, these are very good top-class hunter chasers, as we well know. So for Colin the Bratton, his 11-year-old, to mix it with those suggests that he's right on top of his game. As you say, he's got some good form here at Fairy House as well in the past. He's chased home Tammy's Hill in this version of this race 2 years ago. He was second to last time Dalban, the last time he ran here over 2.5 miles. So he's got all the form in the book, all the necessary qualities to beat Court Frontier, who's very much on the upgrade. He's certainly a horse not to be underestimated. But for now, I'll stick with the form horse, the quality animal in the shape of Carson's Down Boy in the 5.55.
Carson's Town Boy then getting the vote in that Hunter's Chase at 5.55. Finally then, to close the card today at Fairy House, we have two-mile bumper up at 6.25, and it's Andy Egmore who is the 6-5 favourite at the time recording. 5-1 for Delegate. Killer Miller is 6-1. It's also 6-1 about Okotox. Park Row is 8-9-1 for Tessocrat, and it's double figure prices the rest of them. We've got a warm favourite here, Andy, but it looks good in a field, this bumper.
It does, yeah. There's one or two interesting types here. Some of them haven't had a run. Be worthy looking at the market to see how they shape up, particularly Park Row from a stable that I've got a bit of time for, the James Fiend stable. But the one that sets the standard for me is Willie Mullins' underdog Moore, who's probably a worthy favourite on balance of what he's done so far. A real light catching run first time off the shelf when he looked like he was going to justify his favouritism here at this track, only for a horse trained by Elizabeth Dawe to come and gun him down in the latter stages. Not but the first time Elizabeth Dawe has won a bumper, by the way, with a horse at a decent price in the shape of Golden Lodge. But the pair of them really did quicken up that day, and I think that was a decent little event, and like I say, the front two pulled well clear of horses that have subsequently gone on to frank the form. The second, third and fourth have all finished placed in subsequent bumpers. So I think that was an OK effort. Ground similar to what he had the first time. He travelled really superbly well. And I think with extra experience and more know-how this time and what's expected, I'd expect Willie Mullins yet again to win another bumper in the shape of Undog Moore.
OK, then, Undog Moore getting the night in the 6.25, then the bumper, the final race of the day at Fairy House. If you could just summarise, please, Andy, your seven selections for the action on Tuesday.
I certainly will, Sam, yeah. If Clonbannon lad in the first, not a particularly strong vote, but he gets a nod all the same. I've got to go with Maloney in the Norman's Grove Chase, a grade two. He's a horse right on top of his game at the moment, despite Davy Russell not being on board. Hopefully Paul Carberry can get a tune out of Timothy Dawes, 9-year-old. In the 4.25, all eyes are going to be on Pleasant Company here. He's obviously been the talk of the town already. He's into 7-4. He could be extremely well handicapped and make mincemeat of this lot. But I'm going to go with the form horses, the classy horses, the ones at the top of the weights, Vegetariat and Fine Article. I think you'll get a good run from those two. In the 4.55, again, another trappy handicap. I've mentioned several on the podcast, but I'm going to go with Size and Godelka as my number one choice. In the 5.25, probably the best bet on the card for me would be the Lobster Catcher back home at his beloved Fairy House. In the 5.55, Carson's Town Boy sets the standard with that good fourth in the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham. And in the final race, a lovely horse in the shape of Undag Moore bids to give Willie Mullins yet another win in bumpers, and I believe that he will land favouritism in the final race.
OK, there we are then. The thoughts of our Irish racing experts, Andy Holding, ahead of Tuesday afternoon's action at Fairy House. It all starts at 3.25, of course. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Andy, and good luck with the bets.
OK, cheers, buddy. Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.